Hello there, you're listening to Audacity, the authentic entrepreneur podcast, especially for female founders. I'm your host, Claire Akers. In this space, you'll hear me talk about anything and everything you need to build an authentic and aligned business that's capable of changing the world. I'm a mum of three, entrepreneur and founder of two businesses so far, and an authenticity coach since 2007. Most importantly, I'm a cheerleader for those of you who have been brave and audacious enough to risk it all, follow your heart and build a business. So welcome to the Audacity Podcast. I'm so glad you're here and let's dive in to the episode. Are you self-sabotaging? In its most basic terms, self-sabotage, it's when you achieve some measure of success, and whatever that is personal to you, and then you do something, either consciously or more likely subconsciously, in order to mess it up in some ways. And why we do this, I'm going to go into a little bit later during this conversation, but I want you to know that it is so, so common. And we need to talk about this. We need to talk about this, right? And if you self-sabotage, you might hear yourself saying things like, why do I always mess things up? Or, of course, that was never going to last. That was never going to work. It just wasn't the right time. Or I just knew they had made the wrong choice picking me. Or even, and I've said this one myself quite recently, I knew I shouldn't celebrate that thing. I've totally jinxed it. So today's conversation is all about that self-sabotage, why we do it, what that might look like for you in your world, and some real life case studies from my clients. And most importantly, if you are here having a light bulb moment, an epiphany, and thinking, oh my gosh, this is totally me, then we're going to talk about what you can do about it. So it no longer needs to stop you or make you feel rubbish or beat yourself up or even slow you down a little bit. And so you can find that peace and that opportunity to celebrate all the cool stuff that you've done. My name is Claire Akers. I am an authenticity coach. I work with female entrepreneurs to help them rip up the rule book and to grow aligned, impactful companies and to achieve authentic self-mastery. And I see self-sabotage all the time in outwardly successful, fantastic, accomplished people. And I want to call it out because if you resonate with this, if you discover that you are doing this, then you can do something about it. And it absolutely is possible for you to do something about this self-sabotage. Okay, let's dive in to some case studies. So number one is self-sabotage is being clear on what you do want and then accepting less than that, because you think you have this narrative of that'll do for me. I'll just accept that. So a client of mine had done the hard work. She had set a big, audacious, bodacious, outrageous goal for herself. And for her, it was all about launching and filling a new group program that she was offering. She works in marketing for entrepreneurs, and she wanted 10 entrepreneurs inside this new program that she was offering. She had identified her ideal client. She had created a marketing plan. She'd created a social plan. And she was showing up like anything on social media. You know, she was really putting herself out there and doing the do. And she got off to a great start. She had signed two new perfect clients inside her new program. But then she stopped. She stopped marketing. She stopped emailing her list. She stopped talking about the program on social media because she was thinking, that'll do. That will do for me. Two is break even on my costs. Who am I to keep on going for more? It's greedy. It's going to jinx the ones that I've already got. And when you look at it like this, it's absolutely crazy, isn't it? Because there could have been people just around the corner who were desperate for her help, who needed exactly that program that she was offering. And yet she gave up. She put a cap on her success. She self-sabotaged and just gave up. Okay, so the next one is setting a boundary and then not enforcing it or letting other people trample all over that boundary. So another client had a really interesting dynamic with a group of friends. So this is a group of friends that she's had since school days. She had maybe outgrown a couple of them, but she had a really long sense of loyalty to this group and, you know, that shared history and those in jokes and all that kind of thing. And together we had worked really hard on setting boundaries on a couple of the members of this group, toxic ones essentially. So one of them was making snide remarks about my client's success, wasn't being very supportive. And another of the group had a bit of an alcohol problem, you know, became a bit of a liability when she'd had a few. And my client is a recovering people pleaser. So we had worked really, really hard on setting healthy boundaries, on being supportive, yeah, absolutely being supportive, but recognizing when it was becoming toxic and setting some boundaries around that and not being drawn in to that toxicity and giving more than she could. And the boundary that we'd set was that she was only going to see these particular two friends in a group setting because that is what she felt that she could manage rather than seeing them one-on-one. And she was really, really happy with this boundary. The self-sabotage came in when she disrespected her own boundary when one of these friends asked for some money. She asked to borrow some money. She had a sob story. And I'm sorry to say that my client got sucked back in, essentially. Ended up lending her some money and just felt horrible about it. That self-sabotage of the really healthy boundary that she had set for herself. Okay, next one. Next example of self-sabotage is engaging in distracting or numbing behavior that means that you can't show up for the thing that you want. Let's talk about booze. So I'm going to share a story of self-sabotage, of my own self-sabotage. This is a real, honest to God, true example from my own life. I used to use alcohol, wine specifically, in order to fit in. To feel like I was fun, Claire, to feel like I belonged, to feel like I could do the outrageous stuff that made me feel like I was popular and fun. And I used it as a distraction and numbing technique as well. So if I'd had a rough day, open a bottle of wine as soon as I got home. If somebody was mean to me, if I'd had a knockback, a rejection, or a no at work, I would have a glass of wine in order to reward myself. I used it as alcohol as a way to feel more fun and to ignore the imposter syndrome as well that was telling me that I was way out of my comfort zone and my nervous system was all over the place. And I used wine to self-sabotage myself as a way to numb and to distract me and to avoid doing the scary stuff that I didn't really want to do. But if I was really honest, was the stuff that was actually going to move the needle for me in my business. like getting up and making the calls or speaking to the people or showing up and doing the thing. I was using wine as a way of self-sabotaging, so I didn't need to do that stuff. I have this week been 3 years sober. After a particularly challenging week mid-lockdown in Malbec May, I call it, I decided it was me or the booze, and I decided to choose me. And honestly, it has been a game changer. I have saved about £6,000 and about 400,000 calories from giving up booze. It's been a total game changer. And it might not be booze for you. Other examples I've seen of numbing and distracting as a way of self-sabotage might be food, emotional eating. It might be shopping your feelings. It might be staying up too late. It might be watching one extra episode of a box set rather than getting the early night that actually you really need. It might be numbing yourself, doom scrolling on social media. And it is just worth asking yourself the question, where am I numbing my feelings? Where am I distracting myself from lifting up the rocks and looking at the big questions that might actually move the needle for me? I'm just going to take a sip of water. Okay, so the next example of self-sabotage is listening to people who either don't have your best interest at heart, or they do have your best interest at heart, and yet they have their own agenda at the same time. So another client of mine had a brilliant idea about a pivot that she would like to make in her business. And it was a brilliant idea. She was so excited and fizzing with excitement and just on fire with how she was going to lean into this idea and change the world. And her mum, who has narcissistic tendencies, poured cold water all over this idea by saying, "Do you think now is the right time to do that thing, darling? Your daughter has got a GCSEs coming up." And so all the guilt came rushing in, and almost gave up on doing the thing. Self-sabotage because of somebody else's shit, essentially. Self-sabotage is also making excuses why you can't do the thing. Making excuses why you can't do the thing that you really, really want to do. And these excuses are sneaky, right? Because they are, on the face of it, they seem logical and grounded in reality and fact. So examples of this might be perfectionism. It might be over preparing to the point that you actually don't have time to finish off the thing that you're meant to be doing. It might be feeling like you don't belong in a certain group or like you don't fit in a certain room. And so you self-sabotage from not even trying. It might be being too busy, you know, having overwhelmed or having too much on your to-do list that you can't actually make room for the thing that you really want to do, or being a busy fool, as it's sometimes called. It might be not having the time as well. So an example of this is a client of mine who really, really wanted to join me on a group course that I was running. And we'd had the chat and it was a perfect fit and it was going to help her do the thing that she wanted to do. However, I was running the calls on a Wednesday lunchtime, and this client, she went to the gym on a Wednesday lunchtime and she was absolutely agonized, torn in two, felt like she didn't have the time to come and join my course because Wednesdays was her gym time. We had a chat and she realized she was self-sabotaging, and now she goes to the gym on Wednesdays after work, and that is the win-win for her, and it all fits in beautifully. But can you see how that so easily could have been another case of self-sabotage? And then finally, self-sabotage is achieving something totally awesome and then effing it up because you don't feel like you deserve it, or because you don't feel like you're worthy, or because you feel like there's been a mistake, or because you feel like a phony or a fraud, and somebody's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, excuse me, we made a mistake, you're not meant to be here, and self-sabotaging to mess up the thing before somebody can do that for you. So a client of mine had a board meeting, a massive, massive board meeting, a huge deal with the board of her company. And she was presenting this report to the C-suite and to some real bigwig external clients. You know, this is a really, really big deal and a huge opportunity and a huge compliment to her as well and her position and her skills and how well she was regarded. She knew that she had a report to produce for this meeting. Loads of facts and figures, loads of statistical analysis. It was quite important getting the figures right. And she didn't do it. And she didn't do it. And some time went by and she didn't do it. And all the while, she wasn't sleeping and she was worrying about not doing this thing and producing this report. And we figured out that she was self-sabotaging because she was petrified. She was so far out of her comfort zone and she subconsciously wanted to mess it up so that she'd never be asked to do a scary thing like that again. I'm sure you've had an example, something similar in your own life. So those are the case studies that I wanted to share with you. What came up for you as I described those examples of self-sabotage? Did you recognize yourself in at least one of those examples? Write to me. I would love to know. So why do we self-sabotage? Why do we do it? Well, it is imposter syndrome, folks. It's our good old friend imposter syndrome. Your imposter wants you to stay safe. It wants you to stay in your comfort zone because it's familiar and therefore it feels safe, even if it's not serving you. So you self-sabotage. This is literally why imposter syndrome exists. It's your cave person brain. To your cave person brain, its number one directive is to keep you safe. And safety equals staying alive. Safety equals familiarity, your comfort zone. And when you step outside your comfort zone, your brain panics because it's unfamiliar. It sees saber-toothed tigers everywhere coming to eat you. And so self-sabotage is just one of the tools, techniques, tricks that your brain has at its disposal to get you out of that unfamiliar, to that growth zone, to that stretch zone, and stick you right back where it thinks you belong, in your comfort zone, in the familiar, even if it's not serving you, even if it feels rubbish, even if it keeps you small. I have made it my mission to help you break free of that imposter syndrome and that self-sabotage, to level up and to stay there without that self-sabotage messing it up and bringing you right back to your perceived level of safety. Would you like to come and join me inside the Imposter to Impact Academy? There are just a few days left before we kick off the first cohort. So if you have resonated with any of the things I have been talking about today, please, please, please come and check out the program. It's a small cohort of like-minded women, and we are going to level up together so you can break free of your self-sabotage and your imposter and be free and have the impact that you want and achieve your potential. It is going to be awesome. There is a link in the notes for this conversation. And if you would like to have a chat with me, if you have questions, just send me a message. So I hope you've enjoyed this conversation on self-sabotage. Let me know what you think, and I will see you next time. So there we have it. That's all for today. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And thanks for listening. In case nobody's told you today, you're awesome. See you next time.